Hey guys, welcome to episode 33 of Inside the Cage. Big Mark with me tonight. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yes, I'm good. I'm well.
Good weekend?
It was alright.
Was that as excited as that?
As excited as that?
I don't know the feel of it. It was the same.
Was it on Saturday?
I spent more time in the garden than anything else.
We couldn't have been doing hee-haw because you didn't speak to me all weekend, and when you could have been watching the fight on Sunday, we could have done a podcast, said you were out, so you must have been doing something.
I went my mum's in that on Sunday, that's different. You must see your mother at some point, don't you?
Well, maybe, I don't know. First of all, always to start from me, get us on the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Inside Cage MMA, Inside the Cage. Like it, share it, follow us. The listens have taken a massive spike. I think I said last week we were two away from 600 and now we're over 650.
What, 25 away from 700 now? Or
It's crazy for some reason. Brilliant. We just seem to be a bit more out there. So, really happy. Hopefully by, I don't know how quickly we could reach 1,000 listens, but hopefully by the year anyway. But hopefully
if we're going the way you're going, another 5 shows, another 300 listens, you could be 1,000 by end of June, hopefully.
I'd like to be 1,000 by the time it comes to a year. And we're a year in September, so we've got a few months to get to it, so we've got plenty of time. But
1,000 by International Fight Week. There's a target, there's the aim.
Well, that's what, in the middle of July?
Second week of July, I think, 8th of July.
It's the week after Independence Day, isn't it?
Yeah, so 6 shows, basically. Okay. 6 shows to get another 300 lessons.
It's not going to happen.
Doable, definitely doable.
50 lessons per episode.
Aye, but it's not just...
We can't get 12.
See, when you realise how good an episode is, they'll then go back and listen to the old episodes, which is a lot...
Well, that is very good.
Best podcast on the airwaves, shall we say.
Well, it's the best Scottish MMA podcast. How's that? We've set our sights a wee bit less high.
Nah, best world, mate.
Best in the world.
Got to think high.
Better than Ariel.
Aim high.
Aye,
who's Ariel? Who's that?
Aye, who's that? I don't know who that is.
That the wee lassie left in the sea.
Little Mermaid. Right, listen, enough waffling from us. We have a show tonight to do, so we're going to start with UFC from Rochester, New York, and we're going to go and give it its three names, right? You ready, Big Mark? So, UFC Fight Night Dos Anjos versus Lee, also known as UFC Fight Night 152, or UFC on ESPN plus 10.
What is plus 10?
So,
yes. There's 10 channels?
No. It's on ESPN plus. And it's the 10th show they've had on ESPN Plus.
Right, okay. I'm thinking plus 10 as in it's the 10th channel.
So see, if you notice, like, someone will be called UFC on ESPN 2.
Right, 10. So I was just... Right, so see, probably would I go to 33, they went like, well, it's obviously not channels.
Eventually, you would have got to a stage where it's not 55, you know,
ESPN channels. I know it's a big company, but it's still that big.
Exactly.
Anyway, back to this card, which was a really, really good card, and I don't think there's...
There's nothing we can't talk about. This is what I was about to say. We always say we'll do special mentions on the prelims, but I really don't think we can skip any of this because there was bits of this that was just... It was tremendous.
It was a really good card again. I was actually quite surprised how good it was because we were talking last week and we weren't there enamoured as such. We're kind of sitting here like, talking about it going like, aye, really? Right, we'll watch it because we watch MMA. It doesn't matter what it is. We're always going to watch it. But no, I've got to say... The boys turned up and the girls turned up and they put a show on for us.
They did.
Fair play to them.
They absolutely did.
Start off with Julio Arce straight off the bat.
I mean...
With a head kick, a heel kick, wasn't it? A spinning heel kick thing. It was just...
Nuts.
What a finish. Brilliant finish.
Absolutely, was stone out cold. A great performance by Julio. Like, we picked him. I had him, to be honest. I thought he had done well.
I thought he just did too much and he did have too much, so...
Because he's fought some good guys and beat some good guys. You know, he's Dan Ige and Daniel Tamer. Obviously lost before the last fight in Shane Marais, but Shane Marais is a pretty good fighter, so he's got a good record. But it was a great finish. Absolutely brilliant finish.
Fair play to him. Aye.
Or even Zach Cummings.
Well, Zach Cummings was weird because, let's be honest, Trevin Giles probably needed the first two rounds.
Well, I would say dominated the first, all of it, to be brutally honest with you.
And then, it doesn't matter what you do for 14 minutes because somebody chokes you out, you're fucked.
Well, we obviously support one of the greatest things ever happened in MMA.
Exactly.
That, 14 minutes and 59 seconds of brutalisation and takes 3 seconds to choke somebody out, mate.
It's a great comeback, but Zach Cummins, to be fair, because he just couldn't get anywhere near Trevin Giles, and I have a clue how to deal with him. He didn't know what to do, and then all of a sudden he get kind of... Basically got hold of him.
Well, I said this to you on Saturday when I was watching it. You were still watching the prelims as well. And I said, I picked Arce, Giles and Patrick Cummins, who we'll talk about next. And every single one of them was dominating their fight. okay, Julio, 1-1. Julio, exactly. And you're sitting there pure twiddling your hands like, yes, because I picked the opposite. I mean, like, Patrick Cummings and Trevin Giles were both absolutely dominating the fights. Fair play to Zach Cummings. He got the guillotine, man. It was tremendous. It was really good to watch. But you've always got to be aware of these things. That's the thing. You can be a great fighter and you can dominate a fight, but you, as you say, anything can happen. One punch.
That's the great thing about fighting. It's fight sports. It's brilliant. It's
so hard to call.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how stick on somebody is to win a fight. One single punch, game over.
All I care about is the fights being even in the first three fights. In fact, all of these fights were tremendous. All of the fights were tremendous. I mean, we'll get to fight of the night later, but I mean, just amazing. Ed Herman, and I don't see the knee. It was odd.
It grazed him a bit. It wasn't full force.
It kind of clipped the top of his head, but did enough to fuck him up.
You see, he just fucking went wobbles straight away.
He didn't have a clue where the fuck he was. As soon as he stood up straight, he was like, right, where am I?
He was a cool standing up a wee bit. He was just pure, he was just a pure mess.
Aye, didn't look
as if... Eyes glazed over, didn't have a clue where he was.
Completely.
Then all of a sudden, bang.
Completely. Absolutely. I totally agree with you, mate. He looked like he was just... And then
Big Aaron just comes in with his right hand and just fucking sparks him out.
The Ginger Ninja.
Brilliant, man. Fair play to that.
Shout out to him, man. It was a tremendous finish. Again, looking as if, you know, that fight was...
Patrick Cummins going, done well.
Patrick Cummins way. I mean, that is an amazing tash.
I'm not a massive fan of Patrick Cummins in any shape or form, but fair play. On the first couple of minutes and all that, he really did. Guess what, his defeats?
You and I struggle with guys who are even older, and these two guys are 38.
Aye, he didn't
have a clue where he was. That big... I love a moustache, but like, he literally stands up and he's like, oh, I don't know what's happening. And eventually he falls on his arse and he's still not awake yet. And then Herman's just on top of him and
it's right game hand, over. Right hand, right game hand, over. Right hand. Game
over.
That,
so. Absolute game over.
Fair play to him.
Yeah, brilliant. I don't even know what to say about this. This was ridiculous. Mike Trezano, undefeated. By all accounts, a very big prospect in the featherweight division.
I was really surprised by this result. I really fancy Mike Trezano because a few times I've seen him, he's been absolutely brilliant.
But then, do you know another thing, right? I'm sure I mentioned this to you last week, right? There was something about Grant Dawson that reminded me, right? There was something about him I remembered. And we did review him. And see his last fight, it must have been the Arosa fight, but it was amazing. He was absolutely superb. It was absolutely like a total, like, annihilation of the guy.
I think just the hype run about Trezano and thinking about it, I hadn't seen much of Dawson. I've also seen the Rosa fight. I don't think we've seen much for that.
That was his
debut, wasn't it? I think the hype run about Trezano, he had a few more fights in the UFC such, and you really thought, but he could not get near Dawson. Like, Dawson just...
It's just amazing how you look at these guys, right? You look at this, and we looked at this, and we both decided that Mike Trezano was 8-0, he was going to smash Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson was 13-1.
Oh, he had a great record as well.
But it just seems to skip past you because they're at zero. Like, what made us think Trezano was going to beat him? Because he was 8-0? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a difficult one.
When somebody maybe puts in a performance, and he's put in a couple of performances, and you remember the performances... That's possible. If it jumps your mind, you go, I think he's got to win this because I've seen more of him. I remember Grant Dawson one. He did do well, but I think the Trezano one's just stuck out a bit more at a time, and then you're looking forward.
To be honest, Trezano, like, he's had two split decisions in a row. The one against Luis Pena, I didn't think it was a split decision. I just think we totally missed the ball there. Like, Grant Dawson is superb. He was absolutely brilliant.
We did say
Trezano looked distinctly average for 2.5 rounds. Like we said, obviously the first three fights it was opposite. The other guy seemed to be doing better than lost. This was Grant Dawson from Day Dot Man. From the first buzzer. This was him all over.
I picked this as obviously a fight to watch, but I didn't pick it in that way because.
Yeah,
I really didn't expect what happened to happen, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't think I didn't, and we should have. I think that's bad on our part, the fact that we didn't see that coming, because Grant Dawson's an animal.
Aye, first player, man, he was brilliant. I'm looking forward to seeing him going forward, hopefully. Definitely
that name's not going to skip past us next
time. We'll definitely keep an eye on Grant Dawson for
100%.
Another name that we can't miss, we're never going to forget. We didn't realise Johnny Walker the wee brother, to be honest.
I mean,
Michel Pereira. Wow.
He's not a welterweight.
No, he's a fucking light heavyweight. fighting the world, are we? I don't know what it is. He must be one of these guys that stands on his scale, right? And sees right foot, he lifts it ever so slightly, so his leg's not actually on the scale and he's only on one leg.
Does Marty still wear the same?
No, you don't.
No, you
don't. No, you don't. Because I do it on a Sunday.
You still wear the same, mate. If you're,
I've cheated a couple of times.
If you, it doesn't work, mate, because all your weight is still on the one scale. Doesn't matter if it's through one leg.
I've done it. It doesn't make a difference.
Mate, you're talking absolute rubbish. That's what people say, you know, breathe out.
It made a difference.
It doesn't. You're talking rubbish.
Well, I'm just going with numbers on the scale.
Scale maybe flinches because you've moved, but it'll still go back to what it was. And if it's out about like 100 grams because it just, it can't cope with the difference. If you put your foot on the ground, that's different. You take the weight off. But if you just transfer all your weight from 2 foot on to 1 foot, it's still the same fucking weight, mate.
Doesn't matter. This guy is not.
You're talking to a guy who does physics, just agree with me.
This guy is not a welterweight.
No, is he, fuck? He absolutely smashed Danny Roberts. Absolutely smashed him.
Again, the flying knee didn't look like much, I didn't think. Then all of a sudden, this big right hand right down the fucking centre and just fucking out the game.
He likes to fight Serbians.
The guy's been about, he's fought everywhere. He's all sorts of promotions.
I think that's what makes a good. See, I would rather see somebody like that with a regular 22 and 9 before he fought Danny Roberts, thinking, ah, maybe this guy isn't he that great. He's the 30 odd fights. He's decent, but I mean, and then you see a guy like Mike Trezano, you think, oh, 8-0, Mike Trezano must be good. Nah, this is what it's all about. He basically came in and absolutely smashed Danny Roberts. Danny Roberts did not know what happened. It was like a fucking steam train.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, man. It was something else. It was the flying knee. I mean, oh, it was just, it was unreal.
He's going to be a scary guy to fight in that weight class. The size of him, his presence, the unusualness of his striking style, he was bouncing off the cage. I think at one point he told Danny Roberts and he literally just flung him off the side of the cage.
Yeah.
At one point.
He did.
Come up. What was he doing?
I think he pushed him at one point onto the ground. He just ran away from him, just kind of like shoved him right into it.
I think it was like the stanchion. He was pretty close to the stanchion at the, obviously, the corners, and he just fucking smashed him right in. What the fuck's he doing?
It was something else, man.
The fact that he was green all the way up to going as well. That was weird. I'm like this guy greeting all the way up to going. That's fucking over. Danny Roberts is just going to go in here and fucking walk over this guy.
See the jumping off the cage as well with the 1 foot? He kind of runs round past Danny Roberts and jumps off the cage.
Danny Roberts isn't over his day. He's like, where's he gone? What's he doing here?
It was mental, mate. It was something else. It was just, like, he just runs out. He kind of, Danny Roberts goes the way, jumps off the cage and tries to Superman punch him. He's just, I can't believe the size of him. He even looks still, it looks as if he could put another couple of stone on him.
He's huge. He's unbelievable to say. I can't believe it. Again, that's a name we're definitely never going to forget. We need to watch him going forward because...
No, definitely, mate. Definitely.
We'll never forget him.
What about Desmond Green? Brilliant.
Aye, he was really good. He didn't really have to do it when he fight, didn't he?
Absolutely superb. I picked Jourdain just because of Jourdain's record. I'm thinking, you know, young guy coming in, trying to do... Maybe upset a kind of vet guy, but, I mean... Wow, Des Green was superb here again. Because last time we seen him, he fought, was it not Ross Pearson he fought?
I think it was. It was Ross Pearson.
Ross Pearson, I
mean. See, I thought when he fought Ross Pearson that he just beat Ross Pearson because, well, Ross Pearson's finitoed, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I thought, he looks all right, he's not special, don't really remember seeing him before. Can't remember seeing many of Desmond Green's fight before, and I looked at him like that. This boy's undefeated, I'm going to take him.
Yep.
And obviously, Desmond Green proved me wrong 100% and just handled his business. And
the thing, he just
took his oar away from him.
He so did, like, he did a proper handled his business, did exactly what I had to do. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was going to do and right from the start and just bossed it. I don't think he was ever in danger of losing that, to be honest.
Was it a third round? I think Jourdain came in about that when he realised he really needed to do something special to try and win the fight.
I don't think he was ever going to knock him out, though.
No, but I don't think he was ever getting close to that, as you said.
He was never getting close to it. What about my fight to watch?
That was a good fight.
That was tremendous.
That was a good fight.
Oh, what? Come on then.
No, I'm just trying to remember bits of it, to be honest. No, it was a good fight. I'm not doubting it was a good fight.
Aspen lad's something else, man. She's got a chin. I get that. She's a chin.
So is you, Banks, to be fair. Oh, I was surprised.
Sarge is a wee... We hard fucker, man.
She really did surprise me, to be honest, because a couple of times we've seen her before, I was really disappointed and never really seen anything at all in her.
Yeah.
But going up to that 135, that's what makes a massive difference to her.
Yeah.
You see it in her. I would say a good performance for lad.
I thought it was a great performance.
I don't really know what it does for her as a win, to be honest.
No, I don't know. She had to fight Sunday. Aspen Ladd, obviously, Sarge Eubanks obviously wants to try and make her, because she's moved up to Bantam, as you said, it suits her better, but she's obviously moved, she wants to fight. It was probably more suited to Ladd than it was, sorry, to Eubanks than it was to Ladd.
She was trying to get, because they'd fought before, didn't she? So she was just trying to get
the win back.
The win back as such, so.
Yeah. It was, I thought it was brilliant. Aspen Ladd was superb. I like Aspen Ladd, I'm a massive Ladd fan, I think she's superb.
That second round was domination. I thought I was a 10 out myself, and I think one of the judges. Two of the judges seen as a 10-8.
29-27.
So it does two judges seen as a 10-8. So, yeah. Second round was just complete domination.
For it was complete and utter domination, mate. I thought
she's still young, that's the thing. Like,
well, she's only,
24, I think she is. The UFC can't push her. They can't push her too much. She'll get her tighter fight eventually, but she's 24. Let her have two or three fights. I think I seen was Kunitskaya called her out. And she was going to fight, and think she's going to fight Kunitskaya next.
She's just fighting people to keep her busy, because Nunes is tied up. Nunes is tied up fighting Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
So she's tied up fighting that. So let's just wait and see what happens.
There's no reason for her to go and fight.
Nah.
Too quick ahead of herself, because there's just no need for it.
Just take her time.
Take her time, win her fights, and then move on for there.
Enjoy it 100%. Now, you always say a card is only as good as its prelims. Prelims on this were shit hot.
Pretty good. No complaints for prelims at all. Really good.
To be honest, the main card was pretty tremendous too, to be fair. Except a couple of them, but well, one fight. We'll get to that. Stupid two. Did I just say something though, right? Yeah. Hats off to Austin Hubbard. I did not see that going three rounds.
No, I was surprised.
Davy Ramos was your fighter to watch. Now, don't get me wrong, Davy was good here, but I mean, well done to Austin. Austin Hubbard's defence on the ground was tremendous.
It was.
Absolutely tremendous, because that's a dangerous, dangerous dude. He was going for, what, four in a row? Rear naked in a row, that's why you picked him?
I think it was. I was waiting for that. Hopefully he was going to get it.
He nearly, a couple of times, but then obviously didn't. But, well, don't know much about Austin Hubbard, to be honest.
No, obviously it was his debut and
decent
stuff,
record, but I lost to Davy Ramos, shouldn't hurt him too much, because as I see, Davy is an absolute, you know.
He's a monster, am I?
Monster, aye, yes. At that, he's just so dangerous. Even on his feet, he's dangerous, that's the thing. Like, I was quite impressed with Davy Ramos, to be honest. He did get the job done, but quite impressed with Hubbard, that Hubbard took that decision. It was always going to be a 30-27, don't think there was any doubt. But, yeah.
No, it was good for play Davy Ramos.
What about the submission king, Charles Oliveira?
With his first knockout in 10 years. Was he did something like 16 finishes in the UFC? His last KO1 was in February 14, 2010. And even then, it was a slam.
Yeah.
When was the last time he punched somebody to fuck out?
Never. KO punches way back in the day. Listen, it was a great performance. I thought he was absolutely superb. And I honestly think he deserves to be fighting somebody higher up. I do agree with his point. Why does he keep getting fed?
Shite.
Aye.
Basically. There's no other
way. That's harsh.
Shite's a rank. Nick Lenz
is not a shite fighter. Nick Lenz is
a very good fighter, to be fair. I can't.
It was a good fight as long as it lasted as well. That was the thing. It was good. The two of them were brilliant. But I did not see Oliveira knocking him out. I really have got to admit, I was surprised by that. I was surprised that Charles Oliveira knocked Nick Lenz out.
You don't expect that at all from him. It's the last thing you expect for Oliveira. You expect him to get there and actually just fucking choke somebody to fuck out and make them still breathing for half an hour.
So, obviously we're talking, he's moaning that he's not fighting guys further up, so give me a name. Who's he fighting? Who does he get? Who would you give him?
Did he say top five?
Your UFC's, you know, key matchmaker. Every time you make a match on here, it gets announced a couple of days later. So let's hear it. Who does he fight next?
You've got, I think, two options, possibly three. First option, Alex Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Second option, the man who interviewed him on the night,
Paul Felder. But he's fought Paul Felder not long ago. Could be by him, so he could get the win back.
Another one would be, if this man comes back down, which could be a possibility, Kevin Lee.
Aye, good. Give him that one, because I'd love to see Kevin Lee get choked the fuck out. Again. Paul Felder's not a bad shout. They fought a couple of years ago, 18 months ago. He had a loss. Oliveira was his last loss, was against Paul Felder, so maybe it's one.
I think the only one, maybe it's Barboza's the only one that's not tied up, is it?
To get back, I'd love to see him fight anybody in that top 15, to be honest. Alex Hernandez is a great shout, because Alex Hernandez should be ready soon, because he get knocked out by
Cerrone. And Oliveira didn't exactly take much damage in that fight, did he? So
no, it was a couple of rounds worth, and Nick Lentz did hit him a couple of times, but nothing major.
I don't see Oliveira be too happy with that, but I can see him wanting something higher up the rankings.
I think he just wants to fight somebody in the rankings. He just said after it, like, I just want to fight somebody in the rankings.
Maybe Barbosa's a shout, maybe Brazilian super fight. Well, not a super fight, but when Sao Paulo, that's November, that's probably about far away.
Too far away, but I want to fight before then, it's me, you know what I mean? Could get another couple of fights in, but we could get two fights by November, or his second fight could be in November.
Go through Hernandez first time fighting Barbosa and Sao Paulo, something like that. No, but he deserves 100%. He's proved that with his performance. He's just constantly so far at the moment, he's just going through everything. So definitely, he needs.
Just give him something about. What about him and Davi? Are they both going to be ranked after this?
No, I don't see Davi being ranked.
I don't know, he's got a good record, mate. He's had a good few wins.
He's just beat Austin Hubbard.
Yeah, but again, he beat Chris Kreutzmeier. You know, Nick Heine's a decent guys. Okay, John Gunther, I think that was a last minute replacement.
David Ramos is probably one of these guys. He's looking at Charles Oliveira going, that's who I want to fight.
That's what I'm saying.
But then Charles Oliveira doesn't want to fight. He's not looking backwards. His rear view mirror's not there at this moment in time. You can just see in front of him.
You know, every time, right, we've reviewed Charles Oliveira a few times on here. I think we've reviewed him, that's the fourth time we've reviewed him, right? Obviously, I've talked about him before. We've reviewed four of his last five wins, and every single time I click on his profile, I still can't believe the guy's younger than me. I still cannot believe the guy's 29.
He's unbelievable. He's the guy that's got like 6 wins before different women as well or something.
So he's a mad shagging bastard.
He's like great. One of the greatest human beings on the face of the earth.
Yeah, he can choke you the fuck out and then pump your missus.
Sounds about right.
Absolutely brilliant. What about Vicente Luque? And obviously Vicente Luque was the replacement for the initial main event, and then. So basically the two main event guys didn't fight in this in the end, did they not?
Who was thinking about a fight again?
It was Zaleski and Magny.
So it was.
In fact, I don't know if it was the main event, but I think they were supposed to fight. Then obviously the Santos pulled out. He said something about the fact he'd never been contacted about it, despite the fact it was supposed to happen. But then obviously Magny's got something to do with some drugs. But they're saying it's a tainted sample at some point, because he's saying, listen, I've never ever done it. We obviously can talk about that later, but so Vicente Luque last minute gets Derek Krantz, who I think is honestly one of my new favourite human beings.
First player by the first couple of minutes, he fucking took me by surprise. He just came straight out and just fucking
did you watch the video before it?
No.
About how Dana White picked him?
No.
So looking at that
Dana walked down the street or something?
No, that Dana White's looking for a fight.
I remember reading something about he didn't even know that show was happening this weekend or something.
So basically he was on that Dana White's looking for a fight, and he basically Dana White and Matt Serra and somebody else who I can't remember for life of me, which is really bad, but they basically go around different local watch this guy and they watch this guy, and then he obviously knew Dana was there, and he won and he was pure shouting out the cage to Dana, like, come on Dana, yes, he's where I want to be, mate, come on, let's do it or this part. And then he was sitting talking about him and said, ah, he's reckless and he's kind of like, he's not got a great record, he's 31, he's 22-10 or whatever it is. So basically he was like, I don't really know. And then the next scene was basically him in the back saying, where's the boy Krantz? And he said, oh, just through there. And he walked through the door and there's Derek Krantz, and he says, listen mate, I'm going to be honest with you, you're 31, you've got a 22-10 record, but I fucking like your attitude, I'm going to have you on the Contender Series. I was like, fuck me man, that's quality. And then obviously he skips the Contender Series and fights for Santa Luque.
It's some debut to be fair, isn't it?
Listen, I think he was having a fucking great time. I think he loved it. He went out, gave Vicente Luque a quick surprise, then Vicente Luque kind of got into it and smashed fuck him.
I know what you're trying to do here, pal. Bang.
It's funny, I don't often watch fights, right, and see a massive difference between two guys. It's very, very rare. Sorry, two fighters. Can't discriminate. You don't often see a massive difference.
Aye.
You see after about 30 seconds, you could clearly see that Vicente Luque is on another level
for Derek Grant.
Fair play to Derek Grant. I'd love to see him fight again. I honestly would. I think it was he was superb. It was a great attitude to have. Just go out and fucking try and smash
it. He'd be one of these guys that hangs about UFC. He'll win one, lose one, win one, lose one. But every fucking fight will be an absolutely brilliant fight to watch.
And they'll phone him, say, do you want to fight? It doesn't matter who, just tell me when, where, and I'll be there. He will not care. Could put him in against fucking Tyron Woodley or something, and he'll be like, fuck it.
One of these guys, he'll be like Donald Cerrone, doesn't matter when, where, or how, just I'll be fucking there.
Yeah. I just say, it'll be win, loss, and he'll not care. But I love these attitudes, Brown.
Just then, loves a fight, just.
To be fair, I quite like Vicente Luque's performance here. I thought he was quite, once obviously he rocked and he realised and he appreciated the fact, he was like, right,
I'm a bit just take your time.
Don't panic, don't fucking jump into shit. And he smashed him.
It was just basically a night at the office for Vicente Luque, let's be honest. It was get in there, get your money, and get the fuck out again with too much damage.
Obviously, that division is stacked at the moment, right? Massively stacked. I mean, look at the four guys. We'll talk about it later. Obviously, Woodley's not fighting Robbie. We'll
talk about that later on.
Look at the four guys that came out and said, I'll fight him. You know what I mean? So it's massively stacked. Even the guys at the bottom, you know, you're talking about Damian Magg. Obviously, he's fighting soon, but Zaleski was supposed to fight Magny, you know, Meyer's been announced, Edwards is obviously trying to fight somebody else, Lawler's supposed to be fighting. It's so stacked, it's unreal.
See, that's moment in time.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fighters in that top 15 don't ever fight.
Aren't confirmed. You could have 5 amazing fights there.
Fact, 11, because obviously Woodley pulled it.
Woodley's injured.
So 11 fighters, and Usman hasn't got a fight yet either.
Mm.
So 12, there's 12 fighters in that division. There's only 3 fighters with a fight.
12 out of 16. Because you don't count Woodley.
No, 12 out of 16.
Yeah, so there's 4 of them are fighting. Masvidal, Askren, Pettis.
Who's fighting?
And Lawler. Okay.
And Lawler's with Lawler's, doesn't
he? Vardy's just fought, so I suppose there's 5 in. I know what you're saying. It's massively stacked, and I'm not sure about Vicente Luque. Is he good enough to really put a spanner in the works there? I mean, maybe.
Well, the rumours are that he'll be headlining UFC Uruguay, wasn't he?
Well, that's who he called out.
Well, that's rumours, but there's rumours not just because of what Luque said, but there's pretty strong rumours.
I think it would make sense. I think it would make sense for Ponzinibbio to fight Uruguay. Obviously, he's feeding that way. He's a big draw for even if the Uruguayans don't like the Argentinians, they are still a big draw.
There's no Uruguayan fighters, is there? So
no, I don't know. So must be somewhere.
Aye, there will be somewhere, but there's nobody in the top 15 of any division in the UFC.
Mm.
So you look at it and you go, well, you're going to have to try and pull fans in from somewhere. So you need to pick the 2 closest countries: Brazil, Argentina, make a massive rival fight and get two of them in there. And I think that's what you're looking at. You're looking at Brazil versus
Argentina.
Basically, aye. Mm. So you're looking at either Luque or Zaleski de Santos to fight Ponzinibbio in Uruguay. That's the fight. That is the fight to make.
I can't remember who Damian Maia's fighting. For the life of me. What about... Oh, here we go. I'm going to talk about it.
There you go. Bat on. I like to hear your rant, because you're obviously in the mood for a rant, so...
I'm just so annoyed by this, like... I said this to you before. I said this to you, right? Megan Anderson's a big lassie. She cuts a lot of weight. She cuts 36 pounds, apparently, right? She walks about at 170.
Right? At least.
Well, that's what she says. She walks at 170. That's what she walks about. At least 170. So she cuts a lot, right? Now, that's fine. I thought she looked ill, honestly. I follow her on Instagram. I think she's brilliant on Instagram. I love that Aussie and fancy thing that her and Warren Sanko do. But... And then when you see her on Instagram all the time, you see how healthy she looks, and then you see her. I was so shocked, man. I was genuinely, when I was watching it, I genuinely, like, kind of held my breath. I was like, wow, she looks really, really ill. She did not look healthy at all. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm sorry, Felicia Spencer should get absolutely nowhere fucking near Megan Anderson with those arms and those legs. I just don't get it. I'm still struggling in my head to understand how this happened. I don't understand. I'm not saying Megan Anderson or Megan Anderson's a better fighter than Felicia Spencer, because by all accounts Felicia Spencer's a pretty much a badass, right?
She's former Invicta champion,
and she's undefeated, and she's a good grappler. But honestly, that's like me fighting you, right, relatively same weight, right? Obviously I'm a bit chunkier than you, but same weight. You're 6-7 inches taller than me, maybe not as many as that, maybe 4 or 5 inches taller than me. Right. You probably got a 4 or 5. I shouldn't be able to get a hold of you. I shouldn't. You've much longer legs than me. You've much longer. If we were to fight at the same weight, it would be the same thing. I just don't. Megan, Ian Anderson's a striker. She isn't a grappler. That's not what she does. So strike, smash her in the face. I just don't. It just so. I was so shocked by it, mate. I was so shocked by also how poor she is on the ground. I know she's a striker, but MMA is called mixed martial arts. That's what it's called. You have to be good at everything. You can be better at one thing. Always every fighter has one specialism, and the rest hopefully is just as good. Right? There's nobody that's, I think, completely well-rounded. I don't think there's one person that could have. Maybe the closest thing will be John Jones.
That's the best thing, John Jones.
John Jones is blood close, but I still think he's better at. There's obviously something he's better at than the rest. But she's. It seemed like, honestly, as soon as Felicia Spencer, not even had her on the ground, as soon as she had a hold of her, that was it. That was the end.
You're obviously talking in regards to she didn't look well. She didn't. She actually looked a bit grey. It was weird. Her skin colour didn't look right at all, right? So obviously, it's a big cut for us. She's got to basically lose 3 stone to get down to fucking fight weight, which is a hell of a lot of weight, maybe over a 12-week period. Maybe she had issues during her weight cut.
She didn't.
Sure, of course she's going to say she didn't. She's not going to come out and blame it, is she?
No, but I don't think she does during the weight cut. I just think she can't cut that weight. She's too skinny for me. Like, it's just not. It's not.
Oh, she's a
lightweight.
She's a lightweight.
And there is only one organisation with lightweights at the moment, and that's BFL. Because obviously we've seen the lassie, is it? What's her name? Kayla
Harrison?
Yep. Is it Kayla Harrison?
Kayla Harrison, sure.
She's a bit of a badass. She's huge. And she's a lightweight. So
even look at this fight, and let's be honest, Felicia Spencer isn't even a featherweight. No, she's a fat bantamweight.
Mate, I knew that word.
So I'll rephrase that.
She's a heavier bantamweight. She's a heavier bantamweight. Felicia Spencer, if she could be bothered cutting the weight, or if she wanted to cut the weight,
she could easily fight a bantamweight,
and she would be dangerous. But she's a good fighter, man. She's a good, and fair play to her. I take my hat off to her. I wrote her totally off because I'm kind of in love with me and Anderson secretly. But I just was so disappointed, man. I was disappointed when she fought Holly Holm, because she was. It was a unanimous decision, but it was 30-20, like 30-20 or something.
It was a massive step.
I know, it was a massive step.
Holly Holm's like a proper fucking world champion boxer. And then you're getting in against that in your first fight at the UFC, all the bright lights, everything, stuff like that. That's the biggest step.
She never won the belt. Invicta. She got promoted to undisputed champion because the champion left, and she never defended the belt.
So what are you saying, Megan Anderson is shite?
No, I'm not saying that. I think she's a good fighter. I just think she needs to figure out what it is she wants to do. Like, I think there's so many. I just don't think she should be getting beat by somebody like Felicia Spencer. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll say is that I think Felicia Spencer's got to be one of these girls that once she gets on you and once she's hoddy, you ain't getting her fucking ass. You seen that? She nearly slipped off her. She went over the top. She nearly slipped off her. She alarms and she underhooks on, and she shouldn't. No more disagreeing with me. She shouldn't, but she knew how to roll through that and roll Megan Anderson over, tell her to take the back.
I also think a lot of that was down to the fact that Kevin Anderson, who's Kevin Anderson? Tennis
player, big 6'7" South African.
They'd be good together. Megan Anderson doesn't know how to defend that, because if somebody's slipping off your back, you're shaking until they get the fuck off your back, and then you smash fuck at them.
But this goes back to the point where I was talking about, maybe she did have a bad weight cut, maybe she wasn't full of energy, maybe she never had the energy to do that.
Yeah. I think she needs to seriously figure out if she wants to keep fighting at featherweight, and if not, she needs to leave the UFC, because the UFC can't get featherweights. They're not going to be able to get lightweights.
No, definitely not. She could go and make a bit of money at PFL.
Well, she can't sign up now because the league started.
The £1 million prize, whatever it is. That's £1 million only going to go up as well, $1 million. That prize money is only going to be up, because you look at some of the money fighters are also making. Mm. It's a lot of work for $1 million prize, and PFL's getting quite a good name and stuff like that, and a good rep in America right now, so there's only going to be more money to be made than that. So maybe that is a route she goes down eventually.
I was just disappointed, mate. I think it's because, again, as we were talking about last week, when you're so like into a certain fighter, if you're a fan of the fighter, like before being like, obviously we try to look at things kind of generally, and we like to try and, you know, do our thing and, you know, be, well, I suppose you could call us pundits, but you know what I mean, have opinions on it. But it's hard when you do like a fighter, it is hard to know, to switch off and, you know, feel like, you know, it was hard to watch for me. I struggled with it because I really like Megan Anderson. I think she's a good fighter. I think I like the fact that I don't know if what it's because they're bigger lassies. I think you always have this indication that lassies fighting are always tiny, and I'm kind of cheering on the, you know, the bigger lassies, the kind of the taller lassies, and well, give us some proper fights, man. Like, not that I'm saying Michelle Watterson versus, you know, whoever Kovalevich wasn't a great fight, it was, but I want to see basically a weight division for everybody. I want to see anybody who, I want to basically see any shape, any size, any weight, any, you know, male, female, come to the UFC and have a place to fight. And I think that's why I enjoy watching it and why I was so gutted, because I think I was just pure into it, man, and it was just a shame. I just felt kind of gutted for her.
No, I don't
know. To be honest, man, it was a shit, but...
I know, man. That's hey-ho. What it was.
Hey-ho.
What about Ian Hinch's performance?
Man, performance of the night.
Fair play, Ian Hinch. I thought he was brilliant, because Antonio Carlos Jr. is a dangerous, dangerous guy.
See, after the first round...
Yes.
I was throwing the towel in for Ian Hinch.
Yeah, I didn't think he was coming back for that. I thought it was only a matter of time before.
I was like, Antonio Carlos Jr. has got him on toast. He's literally pulled out the toast and the knife and spread Ian Hinch all over the toast, ready to eat it. And round two, and Ian Hinch has jumped off the toast and fucking punched Carlos in the face. It was tremendous, mate. It was...
The two rounds were superb, man. He's a lot of great defence against these...
I can't actually disagree with the two forms of the night bonuses, to be fair, right? But if you were giving it to anybody else, for me it would have been Ian Hinch, because that was tremendous. You could see people could argue, aye, but he had a crap first round. He goes, well, that makes it even better for me to come back from that.
Especially against a very good fighter and win a fight in the way he did, because he dominated the last two rounds, basically.
It's like being 2-0 down at half time and coming back 1-3-2. Performance of the season. I mean, that's... You grind it out. That was tremendous, mate. It was absolutely superb.
And I love Antonio Carlos's nickname, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Shoeface.
But it sounds better
in Brazilian. We're talking about that. Shoeface. It's Shoeface and what?
It sounds better in Brazilian. Shoeface. In Portuguese.
Cara de sapato.
Yeah. Cara de sapato sounds better. Shoeface. It doesn't look like a shoe, though.
I don't talk to myself. But no. Fair play in Hinch. Great performance against a good fighter. And imagine that's going to get him ranked, to be honest.
You see them when they announced that, though? Like, he was proper. He wasn't sure. Neither of them were sure. I love that part. I wasn't sure. I had Ian Hinch 29-28, to be honest. I had him, but I wasn't sure. I thought he could swing either way. And honestly, he was like that. He was like that when he said, you could see he was holding his breath. He was just waiting. And then when he said it, he was the hurricane. He was just like all over the place, man. He was like, fucking yes. So chuffed for him, man. Like, seriously, it was tremendous.
Well, that'll take him straight to the rankings, I would think. Obviously, Carlos Jr. was, Shoeface was ranked 12th before, so he's got to go straight in there, you would think.
Yeah, maybe a fight against somebody like a Derek Brunson or a, you know, a Brad Tavares or something next.
Along the lines, aye, you've got to...
Oh my God, Elias Theodoro.
How did Elias Theodoro go up in the rankings?
That's mental. Did he win?
No, he lost.
No, he won.
No, you beat, because we were talking about how bad a performance it was.
I know that. That's because it was shit, but... Yeah, fair play to Ian Hinch. Hopefully he gets somebody... That's mental. Derek Brunson didn't move, and Elias Theodoro moved up too. That's mental. Anyway,
I don't know how it will. I really don't.
We always get distracted when we do this. We look at stuff.
I know.
Ian Hinch hopefully gets a fight with somebody higher up. I say Brad Tavares or something. Run about that idea would be good for me.
That sounds about right. Aye, but definitely not too big a step, because it's a big step to make against Trueface. So you don't want to take too big a step again.
Yeah.
Right, you have a wee rant again.
I don't go into rant about this. This was fucking tremendous.
I thought you'd have a hand about Kevin Lee.
I'm just not a lover of Kevin Lee. I don't know what it is about him. I don't know if it's something, the way his mouth is, or how he holds himself. There's something about him I just don't.
He just thinks he's a hell of a lot better fighter than he actually is.
I think that's what it is. I think he thinks he's... I don't even know if it's that. There's something just about me I just cannot go. And, you know, I think he was like, oh, you know, lightweight, I struggle to wake up. Welterweight's my weight. I'm going to fucking do it. And then you get beat by an old dude, man. Like...
Good play, RDA, but he's fucking
mate,
brilliant.
RDA was absolutely superb, man. It was some performance.
The good thing about RDA, he never looked tired. I thought he could have kept fighting for another 3 or 4 rounds.
And he knew what would happen to Kevin Lee.
Nah, he knew he was bust. He knew he was absolutely bust.
I'm surprised it went to the fourth, to be honest. I thought it would end in the third, because after the second, your man Lee was fucked.
Well, you see, was it the start of, obviously, I think, towards the finish, and obviously Kevin Lee went for the takedown, and he went for the takedown, and he missed it. And he basically just kind of lay on the ground and waited for RDA just to kind of finish the fight. It was unbelievable. The fight, Kevin Lee, like, obviously, this is another one that I no doubt, I think maybe Kevin Lee could go fight a welterweight. But I'm not saying he's got a challenge for anything. I'm just saying he could fight a welterweight.
Do you know what he is?
What?
He is the epitome of a 165.
Yeah, 100%. He's a 165.
He's a 165 all day fucking long.
He's the man 165 was made for.
Yeah.
He'd been a 165 champ, but that's a bigger statement.
I don't want to be horrible, right, and nasty about a guy that I don't know, and I'm not trying to be nasty. I just don't get it. Like, he's had one win in his last four, and it was by doctor stoppage, and he also missed weight that fight. So, what do you do if you're Kevin Lee? What do you do? Do you go away? Do you reassess? Do you change camp? Do you look at them? Because something's not working for him. See, before he fought Tony Ferguson, he was 16-2. Okay, the win against Chiesa was dodgy because Chiesa never tapped, remember? And the ref sort of did, and, you know, it's one of the ones. It's a difficult one. He's obviously lost a couple of fights. He's been beat by Ali Quinta in his UFC debut, and he beat by Leandro Santos, who, I think that's the boy that's fighting Stevie Ray, isn't it? Leandro Santos.
That name rings a bell.
Yes, same guy. So he's had two losses before he fought Tony Ferguson, and since then, obviously, he's had three losses at four. I just think he's got to. I don't know, mate. I don't know. I feel for the guy. Like,
I think you're right in the fact. I think he has to go elsewhere. To be honest, I think he's got to go and get out his training camp, go and challenge himself, go and take maybe a year out, go and challenge himself, challenge his body. If he wants to fight a welterweight, he's got to build his body up to fight. You can't start in February and go, right, fuck it, I'm going to fight welterweight end of May. It doesn't work.
No.
It does not work. 3 months is not 3 months is not long enough for you to build your body up in the way of going to fight at welterweight. It doesn't work. You've seen it with a couple. I was like, who's the guy last week? There was somebody last week as well. And they jumped up a division.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen they were bust after the first maybe 7 or 8 minutes because they hadn't trained their body to fight at a higher weight level.
Yep.
They'd just done their normal camp, they hadn't lost the weight, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
It does not work. You've got to train your body to fight at that weight level.
You can't just jump in and do it. You can't.
No, definitely
not, mate. I totally agree.
Your gas tank is always going to be roughly the same because all you're doing is not cutting the weight. So maybe he walks about 190. So instead of cutting 35 pounds, see, I know that's probably too much to get down to 155.
Mm-hmm.
He's not having to cut that weight, so he's not having to work as hard, so he's not having to use his gas tank. He's not having to maintain his gas tank at that level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think he struggled against a guy who probably should be beaten. If you want to be in that welterweight division, you need to beat RDA.
To be fair, some jump straight in there, but
But RDA is on the back of a bad run, you know. It was
still thought ranking out the world.
I know.
To be honest, he proved he was the third best ranked welterweight in the world because he's lost three fights. He's lost four fights, right? Maybe Eddie Alvarez where I went, oh, and Alvarez knew was a bit of a disappointment. But Tony Ferguson, Colby Covington, and Kamaru Usman, that's his last three losses. You don't really get three better guys you could lose to.
Well, he was that lightweight, wasn't he? So
he was that lightweight against when he lost to Ferguson as well. So
see, since he moved to welterweight, you know, he's 3-2. He's 4-2, so he's got a good record, and he's two losses at welterweight against the top two ranked guys.
He's lost a fight for the interim title, and he basically lost a number one contender fight against Usman.
Against possibly one of the greatest welterweights we've ever seen.
So you can't really.
Yeah, it's a big jump for Kevin Lee, mate. I get that, and he took the fight, but I just don't. I've wonder what he does now. I've got to wonder. 26 year old, it's loads of time. He's 10 years in the fight game, take a year.
He's got to go take a year out. He's got to assess himself. I would go and train at other camps. Maybe he doesn't want to completely move his camp, but you've got to go and experience other things and challenge yourself and go somewhere else. And I think that's what he needs to do.
Because it's 16-2, right? At that record.
It's a very good record.
At lightweight, yeah, it was. And then 17-5 doesn't look as good. And you've moved up a weight class to something that should be more comfortable for you. Mm. It doesn't look good, mate. It doesn't, but yeah, there's something about Kevin Lee. I think it's the arrogance. I don't mind arrogance if you can back it up. And to be honest, the fights I've seen him in, the first fight I seen him in was Michael Chiesa, right? I think the first fight I properly watched, and since then he's lost three. And the other one was a doctor stoppage. Do you know what I mean?
There is a good fighter in there, but I think definitely he's got everything.
I think he's a very good wrestler, a good grappler. He's got good striking. I think it's just his IQ and stuff like that, and knowing what to do and when. I think, because as you say, that takedown attempt was just stupid. He didn't need to do it, and he knackered himself just
fucked himself just doing it. He just killed himself, didn't he? So.
Yeah. What about the bonuses? Any grumbles?
Not specifically.
No.
No, I kind of...
I just wish there was a couple more performances tonight, because I would have given one to RDA and I would have given one to Ian Heinisch, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have disagreed with you. But no, I mean, I said it was... Again, it was... The one fight that was very, very equal was Ladd versus Eubanks, even though the scorecards maybe doesn't show it because of the 10-8.
Not only the fact that it was equal, but it was tremendous. They were swinging for the houses, man. It was tremendous.
But as most rare fights, there usually was one guy better than the other one, unless it was a complete random knockout.
I mean, Ian Heinisch versus Antonio Carlos Jr. could have been fight of the night.
Yeah, could have been.
But I think Ladd Eubanks, see the end of Ladd Eubanks, mate, I was nearly applauding. It was fucking tremendous.
It was good, man. It was good.
Nothing beats fight of the night for me. That was definitely fight of the night, and I called that, by the way. I'll just say that.
Right. Just because my man never turned up.
Mm. But we need to crown our May prediction champion.
Oh, aye.
So, yeah, Mark holds his belt troops. Because we had to have an eight fight turn in my favour, and what ended up was Mark still beat me by one. So, I mean, what did you call? 28 out of what was that? 37? 28 out of 37 fights?
That's not bad.
Is that right? Uh-huh. Yeah, 37 fights, that's not bad. And I called 19 out of 37, so half.
Take 50%. I think 50% is a good ratio.
50% is all right. If you can call 50% of these fights, remember it's on the night, it's two guys, it's so hard to call.
Oh, anything.
If you can call 50%, that's decent. Obviously, you wiped the floor with me this month. So you're now, you know, reigning and defending champion.
All.
So you were reigning, but you're now reigning, defending. So well done.
We would always say a champion has somebody never to a champion.
Absolutely.
Defended that belt.
Brilliant.
Yes!
I want to have a wee quick look at one championship, because some of this was sensational.
Oh, some of this was unbelievable. I only seen really highlights and bits and pieces, but some of the highlights I seen were fucking
normally we would do it in order, right? But Christian Lee. Now, Shinya Aoki had him in one of the nastiest armbars
I have ever seen.
My shoulder popped out watching it. And Christian Lee rolled the fuck over and went, "Come on in." And I'm sitting there going, "No, wait, your arm's hanging off." And then he had the fucking cheek to knock him the fuck out. To be honest, even I seen that, I actually seen the clip of the armbar first and didn't know who'd won. I totally forgot about it. I seen the armbar and went, "Oh fuck, that's a shame. Aoki must have pumped him." And then I just happened to be scrolling through Instagram, Christian Lee shocked Aoki, and I went, "Wait, what?"
Unbelievable.
Oh, mate,
shocked, man.
It was some performance by Christian Lee.
I could not believe it. That armbar was in bits.
Oh, mate, it was honestly like his shoulder popped out, but it was. Christian Lee was tremendous. What a finish,
knockout,
man.
Oh, superb.
Hats off to him, man. Winning that belt like that after being in that the deepest armbar I've seen, plus against an absolute legend. I mean, my God, 43-9. That is ridiculous.
Been fighting for decades. Literally
ridiculous, man.
Fighting for decades.
It was a tremendous, tremendous performance.
That was really
good. You know what I was also going to say to you, right? I watched some of the kickboxing. Did you watch any of the kickboxing?
No, I've never seen any kickboxing, just the MMA I've got.
Holy shit, man. I ain't getting any kickboxing, man. This is fucking tremendous. So see Sami Sana versus... Yeah. That was tremendous. It was the knees, the punches, the kicks. Honestly, mate, it was ridiculous.
You had Sankai
to me.
I have.
Honestly, I only just seen wee clips. Like, I didn't watch them because obviously I'm not massive into kickboxing. Obviously, I know it's a part of mixed martial arts, but the clips I seen made me want to watch it. I was like, holy shit, man!
What weirded me about this was obviously it was MMA thingies, but like obviously it was a ring.
It was
a square ring.
It was weird. I think that's strange. I think that's harsh doing that to the MMA guys.
I think that's very harsh.
Then again, I suppose that's what happens when you sign for.
And it's still weird, but man. Especially in the title fight, the main title fight as an MMA fight.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. A shout out to the absolute killer that is Gary Tonin.
Oh, wow, man. This guy is fucking sensational. This guy's a superstar in the making, by the way.
Can I just say something?
What?
I've watched that three times. I still don't know what I did. I've watched that three times and I still cannot tell how the fuck he's submitted him.
It was like he rolled through it and then he twisted.
The other guy had his leg. The other guy was trying to get him in a heel look, and all of a sudden, another guy tapped, and I'm sitting going, "Wait, what happened?" Rewound it, watched it again, still couldn't see what happened, and then done it again.
Did you see what he did with his right leg?
No.
He did his right leg on the boy Nakahara's right shoulder, pushing him down to stop him from getting forward enough to try and fight
the feet.
It was brilliant. It was not just the fact that he did see what you can. He was also trying to stop the other guy from breaking the lock. It was fucking sensational. Gary Tonin is an absolute superstar, by the way.
That's 155, so that's lightweight in UFC, but it's featherweight. That thing, me. Wow, man. Wow.
He's a scary dude. He'll be fighting for a title, I think, soon, because you can't just... They're just feeding him bums, but it looks like... Oh, sorry, I'll rephrase that. He's making these guys look like bums.
All right. That's I want to see him against a perennial striker, but and see how he does. Somebody's going to run away from him and smash him in the face.
True. That would be interesting to see.
Can we have a wee moment of silence for Sage Northcutt's face? Holy shit, man. I don't think I've ever seen a punch like that in my life.
He's not a pretty boy anymore, is he?
Oh, my God. Did you hear what happened, right? So... He was 8 fractures in his face, right? He was supposed to be in surgery for 4 hours. It took them 9. Do you know why? Because apparently there was 30 fragments of his bone they had to pick out of his face because his face broke into that many bits.
Oh my God.
Actually, ridiculous. This guy, Cosmo Alexandri, has destroyed Super Sage. Super Sage is now Sage. Deep fried Sage. He's a garnish. He's no longer Super Sage.
He's dead. That's what he is.
Oh man, it was... And he was pure convulsing on the floor. Did you see a knockout? It was pure like, oh man, it was nasty. It was a pure delayed reaction. It was that hard and that fast a punch. I think it took like 2 or 3 seconds for Sage Northcutt's brain to go, whoa, what the fuck?
Because he was literally standing up then just fucking went down like a fucking
between his legs.
And
it was funny. I was listening to something, Brittany O'Brien Shop. I was listening to something he was saying earlier on. He called this before this happened. He basically said he didn't understand why Sage's management would take a fight against Cosmo Alexandri, because this is exactly what was going to happen. He called this. This was a very, very tough fight for Sage Northcutt against a guy who's got absolute bombs for hands.
I think this goes back to this thing of that basically Sage Northcutt isn't very good.
I don't know if he's not very good. He's young and he's a talent and he's definitely talented. He's 11-3, mate. He's obviously talented, but he's just a young boy. He's only, what, he's 23? If that?
96, right? Just 23,
just turned 23. So, I mean, yeah, I feel for him. It was harsh, man.
It was fucking unbelievable.
It's making my job once thinking about it, man. It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable, honestly.
Yeah, but one championship was really good. I enjoyed it, what I've seen. Christian Lee, if I could have a performance of the week... But a wee prize, I think I'd give Christian Lee, because to get out of that and then win, him and Ian Heine should be tied for my performance of the week, by the way, to be honest, because both faced quite bad adversity and both came out with a W, and that was tremendous. Well played, Christian Lee.
By the way, fair play to one, by the way. One is becoming so good nowadays. One is... We talk about Bellator being a championship. Bellator's not a championship. Bellator is League One.
Mm-hmm.
One championship is... The championship. One is that...
They're going about their business quiet. They're not brash. They're not loud. They don't have 50 Cent, you know, backing them up with money. They don't have fucking assholes like Dylan Danis fighting for them. They've got guys who just want to fight. Have you ever seen MDF1 championship bad moving somebody else on Twitter? No. They just want to fight, man. They just want to fight. And I fucking love it, mate. And some of the fights were tremendous. I see, I didn't watch it all. I just seen wee bits of it. I don't know about the rest of it. I mean, there was some really good stuff on there. There's some good fights. I caught snippets of the kickboxing. That was so good that it made me actually want to actually look at some kickboxing and see if I could get into it. Because the bigger guys' kickboxing, like, is like, that. Those weight classes, they are, that's 155. They look absolutely huge. That Italian boy's fucking massive, that Petro Zion. He's fucking huge. Scary, man. And they all look pure ripped to fuck. They literally look like they could fight for years and no stop. It's mental. But, yeah.
No, brilliant. Honestly, superb, man. Love it.
So, there's nothing for us to look forward to this weekend. We have a free weekend.
Boo.
There is some one championship on Monday. But, I cannot... What? On Monday, yeah. 27th of May at 4 p.m. in Beijing.
Monday?
Yeah, so it says Monday, 27th of May. But I can't find any fight details for it. So... I don't know if there's anything on it worth looking at, but we can look at that next week, maybe.
On Monday?
So, we can fill the rest of the time with your news. Mr. Newsman, it's your favourite time of the... The day? Or the, sorry, the show.
Favourite time of the day?
So, favourite time of the day is lunchtime, obviously, or dinner time, just like me, but... Your news.
Right, well, it's been quiet, but it's not been quiet, if that makes sense.
Not juicy news, but a lot of fight announcements.
So we'll start off. Cynthia Calvillo has been announced against Lavinia Souza, which will be a very good fight for the Victor champion as well, Souza. So
yep.
Definitely a high class fighter. Good to see Roosevelt Roberts back. I know Octagon, he looked really, really good last time out, so he's fine. Vince Pichel, am I remembering that?
Yep.
Loving to light well. Have you seen him before?
Sure we have. Pretty sure.
I don't remember him. That's why when I seen it, I meant that. For a player, I'm not really sure who he is, but he's a decent
I recognise the name. Oh, Vince from Hell Pichel. I'm sure we've seen him before. I can't remember where, but I'm sure we have. I beat by Gregor Gillespie last June. Well, I've seen him before. We didn't review him on the show, but Gregor Gillespie triangle choked him.
Well, that was last August. That was before the show started, but...
In June, last year, before the show. Yeah, but I remember, well, I just remember seeing him.
Gregor Gillespie's
no
mug, is he?
Gregor Gillespie's fucking amazing.
So that should be a really good fight, actually. Look forward to that. I can't remember when that was, actually. I can't remember what the date for that is, but... Obviously, we mentioned briefly, obviously, Neil Magny earlier on and his failed drug test, which...
He's tainted supplements.
Which I kind of... I don't see him being the kind of guy who would do anything like that. I think he's too nice a guy. He's, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy who would deliberately take anything. Obviously, it's a tainted supplement, and that's what it is.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out soon enough, obviously. It'll be hard to tell, but... They'll obviously do their investigations, they'll figure it out, and then they'll come out and tell us what they think. Simple as that, yeah.
So we'll wait and see.
Did we talk about Big Paul Craig that week?
With regards to...
He's fighting, isn't
he? Aye, Alonzo Merrifield, we did.
Did we talk about it?
Aye.
I don't remember that.
No, we did talk about it.
It's on the same card as that, by the way.
We did talk about it.
Vince Pichel, Roosevelt Roberts.
That's right, what card is that?
Minneapolis, Junior DeSantos.
Is that one now as well?
We'll talk about it shortly.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. A lot of announcements getting made for UFC Sacramento. Again, I actually don't know why I've not wrote the dates in for us.
Poor show, mate.
Useless, absolutely useless. Look, doing a date for UFC San Antonio later on as well, which is the 20th of July.
I'll find it, just you tell the news.
Right, I'll speak about the noise, you find the details. Right, Ryan Hall is finally fighting again.
Yeah, like Ryan Hall first time.
Brilliant, great fighter to watch.
Yeah, exciting.
Superb to watch. On my wee notes here, he's fighting Darren Elkins, and I just wrote next to him, he's a brave man, because one way or another, something's getting broken, or he's getting choked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Basically, I think that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, fair play to Darren Elkins. I know he's a bit of a warrior, so...
Sacramento's the week before San Antonio.
Is it the 13th of July, right?
Correct. There's not a headliner on that yet.
So that's still to get announced.
What is ESPN Plus 13?
It's funny that.
Yeah.
Good fight. That's called stacked with good fights. Benil Dariush versus Drakkar Klose.
I love Dariush.
Great fight. Absolutely brilliant.
I love Drakkar Klose. I don't know who I'm picking for that.
No, that'll be an interesting fight to call. We'll look at that closer at the time. Carl Robertson's back in the octagon. He's fighting John Phillips.
Oh, Welsh boy.
John Phillips looked alright last time out.
Him and Brett Jones, who's the other guy? Jack Marshman.
That was a battle of Welsh. It wasn't great at all. I mean, he'd done what he needed to do to win. I don't really see Carl Robertson in much trouble there. Benito Lopez versus Martin Day. I wonder if I've missed an R out there.
Yeah, it should be Martin Day, mate.
Martin Day, I've missed an R out. I thought my notes got Martin Day, that's an interesting name. I like Benito Lopez. Who did he fight last time? He's a wee blonde guy. He's 1-3-5-er. Who is he fighting? That's going to annoy me. He was really good, but I really enjoyed watching his fight. Cesar Ferreira versus Martin Vettori.
Marvin,
sorry. Wait, see, I don't
so
know.
You put the R in for the right one there and the wrong fucking one. You're an absolute tip, man.
I know, I know, it's a fucking terrible one. First time I've ever taken them up as well, and I've made an absolute arse it.
Oh, my favourite woman fighter's fighting.
I never mentioned her.
You've got it wrote down?
No, oh, I still have. I'm a fud. I'm having a bad night, isn't
it? Well, not great, but I just have an issue with Nico Montano, but apparently it was all because she wasn't very good, but she's drugs and she's missed weight and she's shite. So, moving on.
Nico Montano's fighting Sarah McCann.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Look forward to that.
Smashing. Right. Don't know if we all want to talk about this, but it's maybe a gap filler if I did it.
It's not news yet for me. He smashed Ben Askren. Dana White said he'd love to have him in the octagon. He has to do a shitload of training. Plus, he still wants to go and fight at the Olympics next year, Wrestling Olympics this year.
So and 31. Next year.
Jordan Burroughs in MMA. Might happen. Jordan Burroughs in UFC. I'm not holding my breath.
No, I disagree.
If he does come to UFC, it'll be like Greg Hardy all over again. He'll get being paid big bucks because he's a big name. That's it.
Well, this is why I've voted part of these as well. I've voted Jordan Burroughs to MMA, not Jordan Burroughs to the UFC.
I like wrestlers. I like grappling. As you know, it's my kind of thing. I do enjoy that more than striking. So I would love to see him in MMA. I'm not going to lie. That would be tremendous. But I just can't see it at the moment.
Fair play.
For me.
UFC San Antonio, a few fights get announced for that on July 20th. That's definitely the pillar of the two cards, I would say. Liz Carmouche versus Roxanne Modafferi.
Mm-hmm.
Decent. Mikael Pennington, Irina Aldana could be a good bout fight.
I like Irina Aldana. It's funny how that's Irene over here, but that's not how they say it in Mexico. That's Irene.
Mm.
Irene. It's weird. Raquel Pennington, again, not a good record, but she's a good fighter.
Yeah.
You know, she's a decent fighter. A couple of bad losses, also against Amanda Nunes and
Jermaine
Durandamy. Yeah, so maybe have the chance for her to get one back, but I can't see it because I think Irina Aldana's different class. Good class.
And the oldest man in the fucking world is fighting Walt Harris.
I love Big Alexei.
Alexei Olenek.
He's not the oldest man in the world, he's 41, but he's got the biggest record I've ever.
57 and 12.
And one,
we'll forget about the one, I don't really care about the one.
I do, it's a draw.
The basically fight never happened then, did it?
No, it did. It was a draw, a unanimous draw against Rogent Lorette at M1 Global Breakthrough on August 28th, 2009.
How exciting. Yeah. Hope Walt Harris goes out and smashed him.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, kind of briefly mentioned it in regards to
Tyron
Woodley having to pull out the Lawler fight because he's had an arm injury, I think, wasn't it? So.
Well, I think he said something about he wasn't going to be fit anyway. Like, they were trying to, but he would rather recover properly than do extra damage, which is fair enough.
So, I was going to mention the Twitter for Fiore regarding who wants to fight, basically, Lawler. Because basically, three or four of them basically just came out and said, I want that fight. Edwards didn't really say wanted to fight, but didn't want to fight. He basically said, I'll be ready if you want me, but never mentioned any names. Darren Till basically just went,
nah, come on, you fucking asshole, let's do it.
I'll be there, but at 175, because obviously,
He can't cut the weight
in time, because it was 4 weeks away.
Yeah, because he walks about 237 kilos.
He's ridiculous. Ponzinibbio, which would be good to see, but I think he'll be set up for a Uruguay main event later on in the year, so he possibly could fight this, but
I think there's a wee bit of Zaleski's depth, if I'm honest.
And Zaleski, but Zaleski's ranked as well, so
yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's the fight. It's certainly not as big a draw as Woodley Edwards, Woodley Till, Woodley Pons and Ebo. So,
but
sorry, Lawler.
Since I wrote my news down to do in my notes earlier on, that fight has now been pulled, and I think we kind of glanced on it earlier on that Lawler is not fighting anymore.
Well, he's not fighting on that card.
He's not fighting on that card. That's what
I mean. I think basically, do you know why they're doing that? I think they want Lawler Till, and they don't want it at 175. So I think basically what they're doing is they're pulling that because they want to get Lawler Till done, and they want to give Till the full camp.
Was it San Antonio, Sacramento? You said didn't have a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
That's another 3 weeks.
It's easily doable.
That could be a shout, Lawler Till.
Maybe that's why they've pulled that, and they've bumped Ngannou versus Dos Santos from 238 to headline that event.
So 239?
It was 238, I'm sure.
Can't remember. Anyway, so GDS, Ngannou, I'm looking forward to that in the first place.
It wasn't 239 because 239 stacked to fuck. That's Jones, Santos, Nunez, Holm, Masvidal, Askin, Blahovic, Rogokold. It was from 238, definitely, mate.
So I'll tell you on the actual page for it.
It will do eventually somewhere, but it was on there, but they took it off there.
I don't think it was, because that is the most stacked. That's a stacked card.
I'm sure it was on there.
Next two pay-per-views are fucking ridiculously stacked, by the way. It's unbelievable.
Yep, it's crazy, man. The next two pay-per-views are going to be tremendous.
Brilliant.
I think we should go for one of them.
What?
I think we should go for one of them.
I'll be surprised when they show
them. When the part's 239. There you go.
Was it 239?
No, it's 239.
Wee bit of local hard news, because it's regarding KSW, which is arguably the biggest European promotion up there with Cage Warriors, possibly bigger than Cage Warriors. If you look at some of the events KSW actually put on,
I think overall in Europe you wouldn't be far off saying yes,
because some of the KSW sell out stadiums. So London KSW 50 will be in London September 14th. Phil DeVries is obviously the heavyweight champion, so he's likely to be in action at that.
Anything else? worth mentioning.
But thanks so much, Lucky Ponzinibbio, Uruguay. So free suspension, do we call it for Cyborg? Cyborg said, aye, why not? But I could basically, there's nobody else for the fight.
It's anyway. Their number one contendership to fight Nunes again.
Aye, there was basically nobody for the fight anyway. Yeah. Only the last time was that UFC in China has been announced, which was quite a good event the last time.
It's a big again. Market for them. They need to get into it. They should be doing two shows a year there, to be honest. But
Shenzhen, I think the place where it's going to be. So
excellent. Are you?
I think that's my lot, mate. I think so.
I ran a lot longer than I thought it would, despite the fact we had nothing to look forward to this weekend. We managed to fill in an hour. So that's us for this week, guys. Thanks for listening again, and thanks for your continued support. If honestly, see if you're a guy, see if you're somebody that listens to this every week, go and let us know, because we don't know if we've got repeat listeners, we don't know if we've got subscribers, nowhere on that. It'd be good if you literally download this every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
whatever.
Send
us a message
and let us know what you think. It'd be really nice to hear from
you. Is there anything you want us to discuss? Anything you want to talk about?
Talk absolutely shite. Or if you want to come on, by all means, let us know. We'll have you on. Come on the show and talk for a bit. By all means, let us know what you think. Again, social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at Inside Cage MMA, Big Blue Saltire, Black Writing, can't miss it. Hit us up, give us a follow, give us a like, give us a share. And yeah, we'll catch you next week.